Today on More to Life, perfection infection. Is the pressure to be perfect robbing your joy? We'll show you how to have high standards without beating up on yourself. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, perfection infection. We're talking about the times when we feel that sense of perfectionism, that sense that we're never quite good enough, no matter how hard we try, the guilt that we can feel when people are unhappy or when things don't work out the way they should, even when it's not our fault. We're also talking about helping the people we care about, like our spouse or, for example, a child who beats up on themselves and is struggling with perfectionism. How can we support them? Because a lot of times our efforts to help them through it kind of bounce right off. So what do we do? However perfectionism is infecting your life, let us help you find the cure and experience the peace that comes from living in God's grace. 877-573-7825.
A lot of us don't realize that this is even an issue in our lives. We just have standards. We just think, you know, it should be done this way. It's been done this way for generations in my family. Or it's done this way by all of the influencers that I follow on social media. So of course it should just be done well and done this way. Whether that's how we look, what we eat, how we decorate or keep our home in order, how our children behave, how we parent, the kind of adult child we are or employee we are.
Our spiritual life.
Very
all
true.
Of it, yeah.
Most people don't realize how much perfectionism can sneak into our spiritual lives. And we kind of have these ideas of, I should be doing this kind of prayer for this long, and it should go this way, instead of really delving into, God really loves me. How do I hear His voice better? How do we have that relationship? It can really tear us farther away from God than we want to be, even though we really think we're pursuing that faith relationship well.
Well, and you know, for some people, perfectionism is a way of life, right? They're just sort of haunted by it. And of course, if you're struggling with that, then we're here for you. But in reality, I think all of us are prone to moments of perfectionism where we do beat up on ourselves unjustly, even. I'm not saying it's ever good to beat up on ourselves, but in particularly, you know, where I'm trying my best and things just aren't working out, and I'm beating up on myself because I can't make it come together, or I can't make this person happy, or, you know, for example, you know, if I'm in a job and I'm learning a new role, and you know, nobody's expecting me to be perfect at it yet, but I do, right? And I'm beating up on myself because, well, what if I don't get it right, and what if I don't learn it quick enough, and what if, as a parent. You know, I mean, I'll just speak for myself as a father. I know moms deal with this kind of stuff all the time. But as a dad, you know, I want to be everything for you and for the kids. I want to be, yeah. You know, and sometimes I just don't feel like there's enough, you know, to go around or enough energy or no matter how hard I try. And when you get stuck in that cycle and you start spinning out in your head, that's perfectionism. And we all fall prey to that. Sometimes.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, for men, because so often society tells us that women are the ones who are the perfectionists, that we're the ones who handle the details, the heart stuff, the making it all run perfectly. Mm. And they really don't discuss how much pressure men are under to have it all together, to make it all happen. And so often the negative effects of that kind of thinking is never talked about for men. So men don't really get a chance to voice that and deal with it. They just kind of say, well, this is the way it is.
Yeah, well, and I would say that men and women, I think, generally speaking, I mean, of course, there are exceptions, but they, we respond to the perfectionism differently. Where women will tend to kind of beat up on themselves and shut down and sort of be sad about it, men get angry.
Mm.
You know, they lash out, they get angry at themselves, pick fights with their wife or their kids because, you know, how dare you, you know. So, yeah, we might display it differently, but I think men and women are equally susceptible to the perfection infection, what we're talking about today on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
And even those of us who don't really feel like this is a problem can have it crop up at certain times. Suddenly, your child's birthday party has to be just perfect. Date night has to be just perfect. And dear Lord God in heaven, help us all. Holidays suddenly have to be perfect. The turkey has to look gorgeous. The house has to be clean. Suddenly we discover we have baseboards again, so everybody's scrubbing that while they're trying to wrap presents and make everything just so. We all suffer from this at some point or another, and it can cause burnout, anger, a bit of depression, a lot of negativity in our hearts and souls. So if this is sounding familiar for you or someone you care about, let's talk about it today. And better yet, let's talk about how to make it better. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, you know, how could some theology help me deal with perfectionism? So glad you asked. So here's the thing. When St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, look, if we take a look at everything God's given us, scripture, salvation history, creation, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body helps us see the difference between Jesus's call to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and perfectionism. St. John Paul reminds us that God is calling us to perfect love, not flawless performance. When we forget that, we start believing that if we don't stay on top of everything and keep everyone happy, we'll be rejected, abandoned, criticized, or worse.
Well, exactly. You know, and despite what we can kind of fall into, the reality is that perfection isn't the pursuit of holiness. It's an expression of fear. You know, St. John Paul taught that authentic love always affirms the person and helps us connect with our inherent dignity as children of God. But perfectionism actually does the opposite. It says, you're not enough unless you perform to a certain level. You know, and the roots of that actually go pretty deep. The theology of the body teaches us that we all, every single person, carries the unconscious, if you will, memory of the perfection that Adam and Eve enjoyed in Eden before the fall. And we long for that lost harmony. And that's actually a good thing because it reminds us that there's more to life. Aha, as the show is called, right? But instead, here's where we get into trouble. Instead of letting God restore us in his time and according to his plan, when we fall into perfectionism, we try to force that perfection through pressure, control, or self-criticism.
And that never works. Brain research shows that when we criticize ourselves, our brains actually lock down. We become less able to learn, grow, or change. But when we feel loved and safe, especially in our mistakes, our bodies release the chemicals that let new neural connections form, In other words, love opens us to change. Fear shuts us down.
You know, and as Christians, we know that we don't become whole by trying harder. We become whole by letting God love us in our imperfection, healing us from the inside out. So where perfectionism says, make yourself worthy, Christ says, let me love you into wholeness.
That's the real difference. A holy and abundant life grows in an atmosphere of gentleness, mercy, and openness, not pressure and self-reproach.
So, right, being a disciple of Christ isn't about being flawless. It's about being formable, receptive to the grace that truly perfects us, instead of trying to perfect ourselves.
And this is coming from the Theology of the Body from St. John Paul II. He's a saint. He knows what he's talking about. He's got to walk through that perfection. So let's listen to it today, and let us help you fix those moments where your perfectionism or somebody else's is causing you to live less than your best life.
877-573-7825. Call up and share. Are you struggling with perfectionism, either overall or in a certain area of your life? Self-criticism, or the need to make everyone happy, or make sure nothing ever goes wrong? You know, do you feel guilty when people are upset, or when things don't turn out well, even when it wasn't your fault, or are related to circumstances beyond your control? Maybe you struggle with just feeling never good enough as a parent, or in your work, or your spiritual life. Or for that matter, as I mentioned before, maybe someone you care about, your spouse, your child, or someone else who's important to you, is struggling with perfectionism and self-criticism, and you're just not sure how to help them through it. However perfectionism is complicating your life, give us a call. We've got the cure for the perfection infection. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, your servant St. John Paul reminded us that we all carry within us that ancient memory of the perfect state in which we lived before the fall, when you were united with us perfectly and we were united with each other in all of creation. And we long for that. Help us, though, in times when we forget to focus on the promise of that restored unity and perfection, and instead fall into the trap of thinking that we have to make it happen ourselves. Help us in those times when we beat up on ourselves because everything didn't turn out well, or because someone is unhappy, even when it's not our fault, or when we feel like we're not living up to our own standards, even though we're trying our best. Help us to understand that it is in our perfection that you are glorified, that your power is made manifest, and that it's not our job to make ourselves perfect through our own power, but rather to let you love us into that perfection and transform us from the inside out. Lord, we bring to you our brokenness, and we bring to you our failings, we bring to you our struggles, and we ask you to help us see those things in a hopeful and even optimistic way, as St. Paul did when he said, therefore I shall boast of my weakness even more, because he knew that it was in his weakness that your power is made manifest. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, perfection infection. Is the pressure to be perfect robbing your joy? Or are you wondering how to support someone you care about who's caught up in perfectionism and self-criticism? Either way, we're here for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Dylan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Dylan, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
So, first of all, I hope you're all doing well today on this fine Thursday morning. With that said, I think kind of going with the topic with perfection, one of the things I guess I struggle with, or currently in my life I'm dealing with, I feel like a lot of other people deal with, is, you know, not only the stresses of, you know, trying to handle work and your personal life and trying to balance those But even for my case, currently in my job, it's a lot of rotation and I'm covering multiple different pieces. And it feels like I lack sometimes in my personal life with trying to be there more for my wife. We recently got married this past summer and trying to help, you know, do my best to perfect, to do myself the duty to be there, a good husband for her. But also it's kind of hard to do that when I'm stretched, where I'm opening in mornings, closing at nights, working almost 50 hours a week. And it feels like I'm, you know, letting myself down, letting her down in that process.
Thank you for the questions. So just a couple of follow-ups to clarify some things. Is your wife complaining about the situation at all? Or is this something that you're just maybe feeling that sense of?
Not more or less, because she knows, you know, some of this is out of my control and capability, mm-hmm. but I know it does okay. impact her though.
Sure. Of course it does. Like, of course. And either way, you'd want to address this. I just wanted to get a sense of, you know, whether this was coming from mainly your own sense of awareness or, you know, she was upset with you.
And I love that you have a sense of this
great.
Still. And I love the fact that you want to be a great husband. I love the fact that you have that sense of, you know, having to work this hard is difficult on getting the time that you need together. Let me ask you a question. How much have you guys, you and your wife, sat down at the beginning of every week and said, all right, these are my hours this week. Where can we fit in some time together? Where can we get some time to work together so that you're not handling everything by yourself, sweetheart? Like really sitting down with your schedules and planning even 15 minutes for one thing or an hour here for that thing. Because I think very often, especially when we're exhausted, as you two must be, with that 50-hour changing work week, we just think once we're home, it'll all kind of just come to us. And we end up sort of frittering away time that we think will just be filled with, you know, being together or doing the things we need to do. So are you communicating on a daily and weekly basis about this?
I would say we do, of course, communicate on a regular basis. I know even not just with my own job, but hers is a little bit difficult because she's a nurse, so she'll have a couple days throughout the week where she's working 12 hours, so it's not like in passing or here and there intermixed we'll see each other, because like there will be times where I have to end up staying and working later because situations happen.
But what we're talking about, though, and this is so that answers the question. What we're talking about, though, is actually creating a ritual where you have regular time, you know, whether that's, you know, whenever it is, right?
But and that will change for you guys week to week, obviously.
And maybe you put a reminder in your phone, you know, where you're going to actually sit down and go over the next week and say, you know, what's going on for both of us? How can we make sure that we fit in some time to work or play or talk and pray together, even if it's little bits here and there, you know? But just, and even on a week where you can't do it, still asking those questions keeps it in the forefront of your mind, so you're able to take advantage of opportunities as they come up. But if you're not having that ritual where you're really going over the next week, kind of, or looking at the work calendar for the next couple of weeks and intentionally saying, let's look at this and figure out when we can get some time to work and play and talk and pray together, then it tends not to happen, because when you do bump into each other, there are like 300 things that you have to catch each other up on.
And you're both exhausted and fried.
And you're just putting out fires, and you're not able to have the conversations that actually move things forward. So the first suggestion here is really make that conversation a ritual where you've got regular time to have that discussion about what the schedule looks like for the next couple of weeks, and when can we fit in some time to work and play and talk and pray together. The second thing I want to offer you very quickly is just the idea that when a week goes better, I want you to try to take stock of that. Make that part of the conversation. Did we get a little more time together that's just spontaneously this week? Why? What did we do with that time? Is there some way that we could replicate that intentionally and build that into the future? Can we be more mindful about scheduling those kinds of times next week, or, you know, intentionally, so you're able to take advantage of the weeks that go better and then draw lessons from that so that you can keep building on it moving forward. Those two things will help you begin to get a little bit more balance. If we can support you more, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. I'm also going to encourage you to check out the Catholic Home app. That's HOM, stands for Households on Mission. This is the kind of thing that we coach couples and families on all the time. There's a great framework there for the kinds of things that really help families and couples understand what it takes to have a great relationship, got resources to help you make it happen, and lots of coaching to actually be able to overcome hurdles that you might experience on the way. So go ahead and run with the advice that we're giving you here, but if you want more support, I really encourage you to become a member of the Catholic HOM community by downloading the app today. Thanks, Dylan. Appreciate it. Got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825. And we'll be talking with Rachel Isaac as well, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, who'll be sharing some insights on how she helps her clients overcome perfectionism. Stick around for that and a whole lot more after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Dealing with personal, emotional, or relationship challenges? You don't have to go it alone or sacrifice your faith to get good help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of Catholic pastoral counselors has helped thousands of Catholics just like you find grace-filled solutions to life's toughest challenges. At CatholicCounselors.com, we integrate the timeless wisdom of our faith with cutting-edge psychological insights to help you make change on every level. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today and let us help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Hello, I'm Marianne Kucharski with Pro-Life Across America. Did you know that a billboard can save a baby's life? When our billboards and radio ads are running, we receive hundreds of calls from those seeking pregnancy information and support. Every caller is connected to a local center offering free ultrasound and confidential counseling. Won't you join us in this life-saving effort? Donate today and help us do more. No gift is too small. That's prolifeacrossamerica.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, perfection infection. We're talking about those times when perfectionism and self-criticism undermine our joy, and those people that we care about who tend to give in to perfectionism and self-criticism. How do we support them? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our program in performance excellence and works with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
So it's great to be here.
So what are some tips that you use in helping your clients address perfectionism?
Well, one of the things that gets us stuck in a loop of perfectionism is how we tend to set expectations for ourselves. Because we naturally fall into setting very broad expectations, such as everything needs to be perfect. But then we constantly feel like we're failing because anything that remotely deviates from that picture of perfection that we have in our heads, that, let's be honest, we probably didn't communicate to anyone else, causes us to assume that we aren't enough or that we didn't do enough. So instead of aiming for perfection, I encourage my clients to focus on being smart. Here's what I mean. Many of us have maybe heard of the acronym SMART when it comes to setting goals, but I connect the same principles to how we set expectations for ourselves and other people. So S stands for specific. So be clear about what you actually need or hope for yourself or how you communicate it to other people. What specifically do you want to accomplish? M is measurable. Make sure that your goal or expectation is specific enough that you can track your progress and take measurable, concrete steps towards meeting your expectation. A is achievable. So keep your expectations realistic and doable with the time and resources available to you or another person you have expectations for. Make sure that it's actually within your control and truly something that you can accomplish with the time and resources that you have. Or again, if you're setting an expectation for someone else, make sure to talk with them about if it's achievable for them with the time and resources that they have. R is relevant, so make sure that your expectation actually matters and is relevant to your goals, your values, your season of life, but similarly make sure that the action steps you're taking are relevant to meeting your goal or expectation to keep you on track. And then T is time-bound. So when you set a specific expectation that you know is measurable, set a time frame for when you want to have it accomplished by. That way you can actually acknowledge the success rather than getting stuck in a loop of perfectionism, which is just this never-ending bar that we're constantly chasing. So when we align our expectations with SMART principles, we're able to break out of perfection because we're focusing instead on creating clarity, reducing frustration, and setting ourselves up to move forward with real confidence.
Well, you know, I think, you know, at the root of what you're talking about here, you know, overcoming perfectionism means that we are shifting our focus from outcome to process, right? Because if it's outcome, you know, I have to have all the ducks in a row. I have to have all the things working perfectly, and they never are, so I never feel like I'm accomplishing anything. But if you're focusing on this SMART process you just described, I can say, well, you know, even if the outcome isn't where I want it to be yet, I see that I have a good process and I can be confident in getting there, and I can get off my own back.
Absolutely. It gives us a lot more grace.
Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. And folks, if you'd like to learn more about Rachel's good work at CatholicCounselors.com, come on over and check it out and learn more about the CatholicCounselors.com program and performance excellence. We're taking your calls right now on perfectionism, 877-573-7825. If you or someone you care about tends to beat up on yourself, let's talk it out and figure out grace-filled ways to cure the perfection infection. Back after this.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing our pilgrimage to charming Ireland and its rich Catholic heritage. The shrines are nestled in the quaint Emerald Isle. Lovely people, marvelous food, sweeping vistas. Everyone's favorite is Mass at Our Lady of Knock and its Eucharistic apparition. We hope you can join us in August, along with our Irish chaplain, Father James Conlon.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
As Christmas approaches, it brings an opportunity to reflect on our responsibilities and resolve to protect those we love. Giving your family the assurance of a secure future is a profound act of care. Through our partnership with mycatholicwill.com/AVE, you can allocate assets to the individuals and causes you hold dear, all at no cost from the privacy of your home. Secure your legacy and honor your faith. mycatholicwill.com/AVE.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you feel held back by your inner critic? That little voice whispering, I can't, or I'm not good enough. The spiritual master and doctor of the church, St. Ignatius of Loyola, realized that these disheartening thoughts, which he called desolations, are not from God, especially when they tempt us from becoming who God wants us to be. Consolations, on the other hand, come from the Holy Spirit. These positive thoughts encourage us to trust in God's plan for us. If we want to follow God's plan, we need to quell that inner critic and listen instead to the consoling voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's a practice that can help. First, every day, write down your successes. Did you make someone smile? Did you exercise despite feeling low? Write it down.
Next, write down the strengths or virtues behind those successes. The kindness that brought out that smile, for instance, or the persistence that helped you exercise. Finally, turn your virtues into daily I am statements. I am kind, or I am persistent. Doing so will remind you that your identity flows from the gifts of God's grace, not that inner critic. For one-on-one support on your spiritual journey, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Perfection Infection. We're talking about perfectionism, which has also been called the disease to please. But basically, you know, anytime we beat up on ourselves, anytime we feel like it's our fault that somebody's unhappy or things didn't turn out the way they should have, even when it, you know, we didn't really have anything to do with it, we're falling into that trap of perfectionism.
And it can really cause us to feel very depressed, not allow ourselves to feel happiness or joy or connection with others until we feel we've met those goals in our head that will make us feel more perfect. And that's particularly difficult around times of celebration, of times of connection with other people, where we should be feeling a sense of God with us. And instead, we're thinking, nope, I'm not good enough to feel any of that joy right now. I have to keep going and working and doing before I'm allowed to feel that. And that's a message from the enemy.
877-573-7825. Let us help you find the cure for the perfection infection, or if someone you care about is giving in to that perfectionism or self-criticism and you're not sure how to support them, we're here for that too. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rebecca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi.
Hi, Rebecca. What can we do for you today?
Well, I just recently walked away from a job I've done for 6 years. I currently have a full-time teaching job, and I was approached to start a company that helps individuals with disabilities. And I did that after I got done teaching, and I would work Monday through Sunday, sometimes probably 60 to 70 hours extra a week. I worked a lot, but my heart, I just loved the individuals. I loved them very much. I put on 2 fundraisers. I raised $25,000 for this company.
So you really felt impassioned to do this, and you threw all of yourself into it. So what happened, Rebecca?
Well, on November 9th, I walked away because the owner of the company and I had a disagreement, because I believe that all employees should be treated the same, and I believe in integrity, that you always should do the right thing when no one's looking. And one of the other supervisors, for the past 7 months, I caught being dishonest. Well, she is very much of friends with her and would sometimes do outside activities with her, and I felt like I wasn't being heard. Well, the young lady walked away and quit.
So it sounds like you resolved that problem, though, because I mean, I'm sorry that you had to leave, but you made a good choice
She's making me feel bad. She's wrote me many text messages and letters, and she uses my faith against me, and she's making me doubt myself. And I feel like I know I'm a good person. I'm a very good person. I gave her.
So Rebecca, let me interrupt you here. She's not making you feel anything, all right? You know, she's saying things, and you're taking them personally dwelling on them, and that's what's making you feel bad.
The problem is, I'm so impressed with you, Rebecca, because you are a woman of integrity who uses the yardstick of virtue to make your decisions. And you're walking away from something you were so impassioned about is truly impressive. But now this person knows that about you. So she's flipping virtue words and things to try to manipulate you.
Well, and even if she was doing that, though, the healthy response to that is to get that text or to get that message and say, you know, I don't need this. I walked away from this job. I don't have to put up with this person anymore. And you delete it and don't respond. But the reason that you're getting caught up in it and saying, well, she's making me feel bad, is because there's a part of you that feels like you can't be good enough unless you can get the other people to agree that you are. Right? And we learn that, by the way, as kids, growing up in families that don't give a lot of affection or affirmation and kind of make us work for it for one reason or another. Sometimes that's because our parents think that withholding affection or approval will make us work harder. Sometimes it's because our parents were distracted and they were busy with their own chaotic lives and couldn't give us the attention that we needed. But in either case, when we grow up in that kind of an environment, and I don't know that that's what happened to you, but I'm willing to bet. What ends up happening is that we feel that we aren't ever good enough unless we can get this person to rubber stamp us. And then we project that onto every relationship around us, even the less important relationships. Like this person, you know, again, that was a significant relationship when you were at that workplace, but not now. And if you could be in a healthy place, you could receive that and say, well, you know, she's really got a bug up her rear end and I'm not going to worry about it. You know? So you see what I'm saying? It's like, yes, it's unfortunate that she's doing that, but the reason it's affecting you, she's not making you feel bad. You're susceptible to feeling bad because you believe you can't feel good unless the other people around you rubber stamp that you're a good person. And so what I want you to do, okay, is I want you to acknowledge that there's that part of you that feels like she needs that affirmation from others to confirm that you are a good person. And I want you to see that what I believe is a little girl part of yourself. And I want you to hold her close to you. And I want you to bring her to the Lord. And I want you to remind her that she is loved by God, that you love her, that you are taking care of her, that you are making good choices for her, and that she doesn't need the approval of this woman to know that she's good. That whoever this woman, and I also want you to think, who is this woman reminding you of? Okay, when you think about this, okay, I guarantee you that if you think, who is she reminding me of? It's going to come to mind. It was a mom or a teacher or an old boyfriend or somebody who made you feel like you couldn't be good enough unless you got their approval first. And I want you to remind that little girl part of you that you're not in that relationship anymore, or at least not the same way. And you don't need those people's approval, and you don't need this new person's approval either, because you have God's, not just approval, but his love. And you are a beloved daughter of God. And that as long as you are working to please him, and you genuinely are doing your best to try to cooperate with his grace, then you have nothing to feel ashamed of or nothing to feel guilty about. And no one can make you feel bad because you know your dignity and worth in God's eyes. And I realize that's easy to say, but by walking through this process, by identifying that part of you that's susceptible to this kind of idea that unless I can get other people to rubber stamp my goodness, I can't feel good. That's what's going to allow you to stop being manipulated by other people into doing things that are not healthy for you, like working 60 to 70 hours a week at another job.
Even when you're really impassioned about something, that's not really loving and taking care of yourself completely either.
Or being susceptible to the criticisms of others. This is a really deep thing that you can heal if you look at yourself rather than what she is doing.
And one of the ways you can really do this is by starting your morning writing out a conversation with God. You know, first thanking him for at least three things that happened the day before so that you know that he's blessing you, you know you're in a good place, but then really saying, Lord, I want to live to please you and to be close to you. How do you want me to do that today? And just put that down on paper. And sometimes as you're writing that question out, it will just come to you. And you can write down what you feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you. Other times, you just say, I'm thinking I should do this, this, and this, Lord. Guide me. Change that if I'm not right. But please just let me walk closely with you today. That way you're starting your whole day, not just saying the words, but really focused when you engage your writing brain you can listen more clearly, because all those other negative protectionistic noises have to go to the background. And really just start working on, Lord, I want to be who you want me to be. Guide me through this today.
And Rebecca, you know, you have a beautiful heart. I mean, really, you have a beautiful heart.
You're a very impressive woman.
You're coming to things from with the right intentions. But I just want to encourage you to kind of look at your approach to life, because I do believe that perfectionism is driving a lot for you. It's affecting your ability to set appropriate boundaries so that you can have better work-life balance. It's making you susceptible to manipulation by other people. It's causing you to, it's undermining your sense of self-esteem and self-worth when other people don't approve of you. This is affecting a lot of different areas of your life. And I would encourage you to seek some good pastoral counseling help to really heal those wounds that are leaving you open to that. You know, you were talking about how you were passionate about the work that you were doing, and you loved the people that you were serving who had disabilities, and you really saw the difference you were making in their lives. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. But there's still no reason to be working like you were. You know, I know that God, for example, has given me this mission to do this work. I'm passionate about it. I love the people that I work with. I love everything that I do. And I do a lot. But I would never work 70 hours a week. And God doesn't expect me to.
Because you know you have to have that balance of taking care of your spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being, or you burn yourself out and nobody can be there for the people God's placed in their lives if they're not taking care of themselves in that way.
Exactly. And so my point to you, Rebecca, is that it's good to have that passion. It's good to have that mission. And I believe that you have it. I believe that God's given that to you. But it's also important to do it in a healthy way. And I think this perfectionism that's made you susceptible to this lady's criticism has also made it difficult for you to set the kind of boundaries with work that you need to, and perhaps with some other people in your life that you need to as well. And if we can help you overcome those wounds that would enable you to live a more balanced and confident life, I'd love to do that. So reach out to us if you pray about it, but reach out to us if you'd like at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about how we can help you heal those wounds and overcome that perfection infection.
You deserve it, Rebecca. I think you're an amazing human being. We need a lot more people like you who have that real sense of virtue being what drives them and is their measuring stick. I just want you to be able to balance that for yourself and really know how much God loves you so that you can do what he's calling you to do.
And do it in a healthy way. So I hope the suggestions we've made here on the call will help you start moving down in a different direction. If we can support you more personally at CatholicCounselors.com, I hope that you'll reach out to us. With that, we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Perfection Infection. Is the pressure to be perfect robbing your joy? Or are you trying to support someone you care about who's struggling with perfectionism or self-criticism? Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, do you tend to beat up on yourself when things don't turn out well, or when people get upset, even when it wasn't your fault? Or those outcomes were related to circumstances beyond your control? You know, maybe you struggle with never feeling good enough as a parent or in your work or your spiritual life or some other part of your life. Maybe you struggle with just that tendency to beat up on yourself and get stuck in your mistakes. Or maybe you're struggling to help someone you care about who is doing all those things and you don't know how to support them. However perfection is infecting your life, we're here to help. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6.
He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion.
And of course, St. Paul here is talking about the way God transforms us. You know, we all have a tendency to think that it's up to me to make everything work, to heal myself, to be better, to be perfect, to achieve the goals, to do the things, right? To heal the wounds. And St. Paul here is reminding us that, yes, of course, it's good for us to cooperate with God's grace. We need to do what we reasonably can. But ultimately, we need to trust that God is healing us from the inside. You know, and when we make mistakes, or even when we sin, we need to think of it like an illness, right? And we're going to the divine physician to heal us. If I'm sick, you know, well, Lisa's been dealing with pneumonia all week,
all
right?
Week, yeah.
She has pneumonia. She's not beating herself up for having pneumonia. She recognizes that she has pneumonia and she needs to take her medicine and she needs to talk to the doctor and she needs to do the breathing treatments and those kinds of things that will help her get well. She can't possibly rout out the bacteria or the virus or the way. She can't personally make that happen. She can only do the treatments. And that's what St. Paul is talking about here, even with our sins and our mistakes. We can't take all those things out of ourselves. We go to the divine physician.
Yeah.
We receive the treatments of the sacraments. We receive the treatments of our spiritual practices. We receive the treatments of trying to live virtuously as best we can. But ultimately, it's up to the divine physician to heal us. And trust, as he says in Philippians 1:6, that the divine physician who began that good work in us will carry it into completion. All right, with that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about perfectionism and self-criticism today on More to Life. How do we get past it? Or help the people we love get past it? 877-573-7825. Back after this.
This Ave Maria radio program brought to you in part by the following.
Triumph of the Heart is a film telling the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe's passion.
You know the rules. I will choose 10 of you to starve until the missing prisoner is found or until death. I can take this place.
Triumph of the Heart can be streamed at kolbemovie.com. That's kolbemovie.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Advent is here, and Ave Maria Radio wants to walk beside you every day as we move towards the birth of Jesus. When you visit AveMariaRadio.net, you can join our Advent mission and receive short, powerful, and engaging daily videos that help you enter the mystery of the Incarnation with new clarity and devotion. Go to the slider at AveMariaRadio.net, sign up, and take your place in this joyful journey to the manger.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Perfection Infection, as we talk about perfectionism and self-criticism. How do we get over it? And how do we help the people we love who are struggling with it get over it too? 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Gabby, who's listening in Texas, asked a question. She said, "Hi, Dr. Greg and Lisa. I'm a mom of two young kids, ages 5 and 3, and I'm really struggling with feeling like I'm never enough for them. I make time every day to play with them, to read to them, but when I need to move on to housework or my part-time job from home, they melt down. I feel so guilty stepping away, like I'm abandoning them or being selfish. But at the same time, I'm exhausted and behind on everything I have to do. I constantly feel torn, like there's never enough of me to go around. And I end up feeling like I'm failing as a mom, as a wife, and as a worker. Is this perfectionism, and how can I find some peace and balance?" And that's Gabby in Texas.
Well, Gabby, thank you for the question. Yes, it is perfectionism. It's also very common, you know, so you don't feel don't feel guilty about being having this. This is a very common problem that a lot of parents struggle with. I'm going to throw out a couple of things here. First of all, you know, we have a tendency as parents, and I hear this a lot from moms. I hear this a lot from moms on Catholic Home, especially. You know, I'm doing all these things for my kids. I'm really trying hard. I love them and I enjoy being with them, but sometimes I have to go do other things. Yeah. And no matter how much time I give them, they seem to always want more. And then they take this as a personal failing somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I should be able to fill up this kid's emotional tank.
Every mom feels that, especially.
But here's the thing. Like, think about this for a minute. Like, when you're enjoying your time with somebody and you have to go away, you feel sad about that, right? You would like more time with them. Does that mean that they've failed to fill up your emotional tank and they should feel ashamed of themselves? No. They should feel glad that you had a good time and now you want more. I mean, and unfortunately, you know, life doesn't allow that, so we got to move on, but we'll look forward to the next time we can be together. And that's exactly what's happening here. Your kids aren't saying, Mom, you're failing by not being here. They're saying, I enjoyed my time with you. This was awesome and I want to keep it up. But because they're little kids, 5 and 3, they don't understand that life sometimes intervenes and other stuff has to get done, and you're going to go do that and come back and do other things. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be upset. They're going to cry. It doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. It means you're doing something right. It means that you've made good connection with them, and they feel bad about letting that connection go. But you're not abandoning them. You're not depriving them. You're helping them understand how to have a balanced life, and that's a good thing. So I want you to get off your back about that.
And I think that's the first step, is realizing that their reaction really means that they love you and they love spending time with you and they just wish they could have more of that and it would never end. You know, it's like it's the connection Greg's talking about. It's also like, you know, if you go to your favorite theme park, you're like, oh, I wish this day never ended. I mean, if you're a kid, if you're a parent, you can't wait to get your, you know, sit down and let your feet stop hurting. But the other thing I want you to realize is that when you do have things to do around the house, now this is not true for your part-time job, but when you have things to do around the house, it's okay to take them along. Okay, guys, we just finished this book. Or when we're done reading this book, I can't wait to read this with you. I love this book. When we're done, we're all going to go and hang out together while Mom folds the laundry, or let them help you in the ways that they can. Even the 3-year-old can match different colors of socks. We're all going to hang out together while Mommy loads the dishwasher, or you're going to help me unload the dishwasher. Those kinds of things can help you get things done and keep them with you to a point for the things that are safe that'll actually teach them that life has this balance that you were talking about.
Yeah, there's this sort of common unconscious perception that kids are only good for play. And really, for kids, work is play too, as long as they get to be alongside of you. Mm-hmm. Right, so as you're folding the laundry and you're having them pick out the blue socks, that's play for them. You know, they love being grown up, so having them hand you the cup that you want to put in the dishwasher.
And again, what they really want is that connection with you, so being with you and the chores that they're safe to be around, that's connection.
And you don't have to feel like, well, I can't get anything done as long as they're here, if you structure it in a way that allows them to participate and be with you while you're doing that. Now, you know, this is a very different way of thinking about these kinds of things, though, but this is what we teach on Home every day, Catholic Home. If you'd like more support in overcoming these feelings and really being able to think differently about your role as mom and really think differently about how you spend time with your kids so that you're able to get stuff done too, I'd really encourage you to become part of the Catholic Home community, and that's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. Download the app, and you can get tons of creative resources to help you lead a more faithful, connected, loving, caring Catholic family life, plus get the coaching that you need from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors to help you overcome the hurdles that you might encounter along the way. You can certainly run with the suggestions that we've made here on the show. I'm confident that we've given you some good advice to be able to help you can stop flogging yourself and really see this differently and approach some of these things differently to maybe, you know, ease the transitions that the kids are struggling with a little bit more. But I do think that you're going to need that additional support, and I hope that you'll take advantage of it by becoming part of the Catholic Households on Mission community by downloading the Catholic HOM app and subscribing today. Thanks for the question, Gabby. Really appreciate your call, or actually your email. And, you know, you have a beautiful heart. You're a great mom. Keep doing the good work that you're doing. And if we can walk alongside of you to support you, I hope that you'll let us. With that, we got to get out of here. But thank you so much for joining in the show. And as we kind of reflect on this idea of perfectionism. If you've recognized yourself in any of this, or even somebody that you care about that you're struggling to support, let us help you overcome this perfection infection in your life and the ways that perfectionism and self-criticism is undermining your peace and robbing your joy. Reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode of More to Life. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.